Good morning, good morning. Unity as a movement is composed of a praying people. Amen?
Amen?
So I'm calling on my team, my prayer chaplains. Where y'all at? Raise your hands. Emeritus chaplains, raise your hands. People who pray, raise your hands. Amen. I am asking you, imploring you, to hold me in love and light as together we share in spirit. I pray that something is spoken through me, through the power and presence that is, that sheds light, lightens the load, eases a burden. Because I don't know about you, but I've been thinking this week. And in what context do I place the goings on I have witnessed, we have witnessed? Because my heart goes out to the loved ones and colleagues of the officers whose lives were brutally taken this past week. My heart breaks for the loved ones of the black men whose lives were brutally taken in the past few weeks. Never mind the years and the words are inadequate to convey the pained outcry of my spirit in the wake of the Orlando massacre. My heart goes out to the loved ones of the individuals who committed the numerous heinous acts that took so many lives. Each of them has loved ones, families. Every person who took lives and severed families or souls severed their own. We know there are ripple effects to every action. The more drastic and far-reaching the action, the greater and even farther-reaching the ripple. Hence the massive protests, the heightened anger, the unbearable hurt and pain rolling through our city, our nation, and our world. I said, Kathy, what do I do with this? What do I say about this? Where do I put it all? How do I be? How do I show up in such a time as this, blinded by fury and rage because of the injustices we've witnessed or have been in the middle of? How do I be when peace and calm totally elude me? Can't seem to find it anywhere. I am so grateful for unity. Worldwide. Unity of New York. Because after having spent some time here, and after all the fussing and the arguing about what's what, I do know what to do. I know that what I can do is seek some understanding. I know that there are several ways that I can go about doing this, and I invite you to think on it. Perhaps you've already taken this on, and I know for me through prayer and meditation, spending some time in the silence. And then now, once I get some inclination, it is to move forward. Hence, get it. What am I trying to get? Some of that understanding. Something that will cool me down. Soothe my soul, my spirit. Once I get it, I'll say, okay, I got that part. And then I need to go deeper, perhaps spend some time in the silence, so that after my prayers have been spoken or thought or felt or moaned or groaned or cried, that I can listen to that still small spirit voice and take whatever action I have been moved to take. I also look to some sacred text, something I can read to uplift me. And I was wondering, what in the world can I find that will give me some inkling? So you know I have to find me somebody. Got to find me a woman in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And out comes Abigail. Abigail is written about in the 25th chapter of the first book of Samuel. And Abigail is married to a man named Nabal. And it says about her in Scripture that Abigail was a woman of deep understanding. And she was beautiful. And her husband, Nabal, well, he was a little different. One of the words I found that described him said churlish. Even just saying the word churlish feels a little icky. And that he was full of folly, and he kind of dived into some evil ways. But they're married. Just saying. And so what about this person? What about this Abigail that spoke to me? So what happens in this 25th chapter is right after the prophet and judge of Israel, Saul, has died. Before he died, he almost lost his life at the hands of David, who was soon to be king. He was ready to take him out, but he didn't. He heard that voice, and he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take you out. I'm not going to slaughter your family, because that's what you did to the outgoing leader. No, they didn't submit resignations. They were taken out by the incoming power. Talk about violent. And so at this point, it says Solomon has died, and David is in the wilderness, and he sends 10 of his men out to where Nabal is shearing his sheep. He's a rich man, lots of sheep and lots of stuff. And he sends his men out to go to where the servants of this Nabal are. And he says, go tell them David is sending you. Tell them, you know, we've been riding, we're tired and weary, and we want to have some provisions. And word gets back to Nabal, and he's like, well, who is this talking about he wants some of my provisions, some of my livestock and my meats and my wines and my, you know, food, and who is he? I don't know who he is. Maybe he escaped from one of a slave master or something. I don't really know who he is. And so they leave. They return to David, and they let him know what happened. Yeah, this churlish dude was not trying to hear us. We were asking rather nicely, but he was not trying to hear us. But meanwhile, one of the servants went to Abigail and said, look, this is what happened. Some men came, they were sent by David, and they wanted some provisions, and Nabal was just straight up rude to them and sent them packing. This is what inspired me. Abigail takes that information in. And I can imagine her thinking, I don't know about that husband of mine, but I know who and what David is, and I need to make some changes. And what she does is she gathers up a group of her servants, and she takes a bunch of loaves of bread and some wine and some raisins and some cakes, and she loads up a caravan. And she says, now go before me and let David know this stuff is going to be for him. I am going to follow you. Just go and do what I need you to do, and I will be coming quickly. She doesn't tell her husband. Meanwhile, David is saying, go get me 400 men, leave 200 with our stuff. We're about to go handle some business. Yes. And so he says, you know, get your swords. We're ready to rock and roll. Meanwhile, Abigail is on her donkey going to take care of business. And what happens? She meets David. They meet. They meet in the middle. You know, a lot of stuff happens in the middle. They meet in the middle. And she is ready. She falls down at his feet, and she starts saying, please forgive Nabal. Take this out on me. Let me take responsibility. And if you will, I have provisions for you. Please take them. Do what you will, but please spare me and my husband and our home and our livestock. And this is what I like about Abigail. She does it in a prayer. She says, I pray thee. So we know she's a praying woman. She says, I'm the one responsible for the trespassing. Thine handmaiden, she humbles herself before David. And then she says, for the Lord, with the capital L, will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord with a capital L. So what she's doing is she's honoring David for who he is, for the king that he will be. And she actually speaks it. She says, I know you're going to rule over Israel. And I'm thinking, wow. First of all, her name is mentioned in the Hebrew scriptures. That's enough right there. Second of all, the whole chapter is devoted to her and her relationship with her husband and what she does, the interaction between her and David. That's powerful. Most powerful is David heard her. And he says, okay, I will step back. I will not go out and do what I intended to do. I will not avenge myself. In other words, I'm not going to seek revenge on what was said to my men by your husband. He says, you know, I'm going to let the God of Israel deal with him. And she's relieved and she goes. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with today? I just got stuck on that part when it said, Abigail was a woman of deep understanding. It didn't go into why her husband was the way he was. It didn't go into whether or not she paced back and forth thinking, well, I need to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try to blah, blah. It didn't go into all. Just said she's a woman of deep understanding. And it was her words that are relayed in the scripture that made me think. The first two words out of her mouth according to scripture is, I pray. I pray. Not I think, not I wish, not I wonder. But I pray. And it spoke to me and it said, remember, you may not always understand what's what. You may not understand what is going on. You may not understand the whys of why people commit the acts that they do. You may not understand the reactions that some of us have. I didn't understand my own reaction. It hit me to my core. But what I realized is that what it's calling us to do is to dig deep and seek out a way to act in the face of injustice, in the face of horror, in the face of what looks so evil, in the face of lives lost. And understanding can happen a couple of ways. According to Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word, we can either get it by following the guidance of spirit that lives and breathes and has its way within us, or we can go blindly ahead and learn by hard experience. In other words, the school of hard knocks. Anybody? Been there, done that. And there's a writer named Winifred Houseman who says, understanding is different from wisdom. Wisdom we see as intuitive knowing, the spiritual intuition. I love the way she simply puts it. She says, wisdom knows. So we have this inner knowing. But she looks at understanding as knowing why. She says, when your understanding is developed in both head and feet, not only will you have the light of mind, but you will also have the ability to apply it. To apply it in your world. So we know what to do, and then we know how to do it. Understanding spiritually is beyond the knowing. It says to us, make that understanding an action. Let it lead you into an action. It doesn't say what size, big, small. An action can be a change of thought. An action can be a desire, a willingness to hold love. And sometimes, as our spiritual director, Britt, says, a willingness to be willing to. And in this case, there was a lot of willing to be willing in my case this week. It's opening ourselves up to the possibility. Because as we've been learning this past, well, we're in the seventh month now, so we're on the seventh faculty or power, that each one of these abilities that we've been talking about, faith and love and wisdom and strength, imagination and power, they're all in us. Did you hear the words to the song that Alton sang earlier? We can take that and apply it to this. It's all in us. Why do we know this? Because we believe that we have been created with everything required to move forward in life, to live our best lives, to co-create with spirit. Because that inner connection, that divine inner connection, is always being. It doesn't stop. We can't be separated. There's a song in the lyrics say, I will let nothing separate me from the love of my God. I extend that to, I will let nothing separate me from the love of the God of my understanding. Because the God of our understanding will meet us right where we are. We don't have to look for somebody else's God. We are made of God's stuff. I can't give you understanding. You can't give it to me. What we can do is share ideas on how perhaps we've gone about being lifted and enlightened and illumined. And perhaps what we share with each other will resonate and allow us to take morsels from each other to continue to build our spiritual toolbox. So we cannot do the revelating for each other, because each of us has to do what? Each of us has to be born in spirit or reborn in spirit. It's an inside job. When we take those steps to pray, contemplate, meditate, to spend some time in the silence, allowing spirit to reveal its splendor to us, and then take a deep breath and steady ourselves with the faith we know we already have and make a move. That's putting prayers, right? Put our prayers to work, put feet to our prayers. We use that understanding, that light of understanding, that revelation, not just for ourselves and feel good, okay, I got a little something here, a little inkling, but we use it and we share it with others. We use it to be a blessing to ourselves. We use it to be a blessing to others in our world. And we can't give it away. Because the more we share it, the more we learn and have revealed to us, and then take it and share it. We make room for more. And when we make room for more, we're inching up to higher and higher vibrations, to higher and higher elevations in consciousness. So we don't sit on it. We share it. We share it with love. Mm-hmm. So we know what to do. We have to remember that any act that is not an act of love is a cry for love. Any act of aggression or desire to strike out and attack is a result of some anger or some fear. We don't always have to know the circumstances, but what we do know is that hurt people hurt others. When we remember that, perhaps it can alleviate the needing to know every minute detail. But to know there's a sense of separation going on here, and what can I do in my capacity to assist in knowing the oneness, to assist in unity, in unifying, to bring that spirit of unity to my world. So I invite you to think on that, to pray on that, to meditate on. How do we individually and collectively be a source of love, be a source of unification, be a source of light? Mm-hmm. I was reading this meditation on the 12 powers by Reverend Dr. Charles Ross, and he says in his meditation, "The light of understanding enables us to see clearly and take right action." He made that an affirmation, a statement of truth. So even if you're not quite feeling it yet, just think about it. The light of understanding enables you to see clearly and take right action. This is what we can do. This is how we can contribute. This is how we can move from that place of hopelessness and confusion and anger to a space of a peace that does pass all understanding. We remember in the face of all that's being thrown at us in media of all kinds, that underneath all that and on top of all that and around all that is the truth. That there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God the good. That there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, expressing through me as my life, God the good. We go into prayer and meditation to prepare our hearts and minds. We go into prayer and meditation to strengthen us, to become deeply confident in our abilities. They are the most important activities on my calendar. Prayer, meditation, thinking those thoughts that promote life, healing, and wholeness. I encourage you during this week to remember love, that great magnetizing force, to remember we don't have to know and understand every detail, but we understand intuitively and spiritually that love never fails, and that the more we allow our light to shine, the world is that much more illumined and has that much more truth in action. God bless you.
Let's continue this powerful, beautiful energy that Kathy has just laid out, has shared in this powerful place. In spite of anything that may be going on, the universe is still conspiring to bless each and every one of us in every moment. Let us know together that we are blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
As you allow the chair to support you and take a breath and exhale and take another deep cleansing breath. If you ever feel that your faith or understanding feels inadequate, or if you ever feel that you don't know what to do, become still. And think on the power of the Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit of God that lives in you. If it's wisdom, faith, love, or fill in your blank, that you feel is needed in your life. If you feel that you want to express understanding or right judgment, know the truth that these qualities are already in you. And it is through our mind action that we are able to express them. We call upon our divine faculties. We call upon divine wisdom. Tune into it, moving us beyond the intellect and release any self-judgment, any self-judgment around what you know, what you don't know. And know the truth that you know what you need to know. Today's daily word talks about having faith in the power of God's love. It begins by saying, I begin each day with this simple thought that God loves me. God loves us with an everlasting love. God loves us with a love that will not, cannot change. That power and presence that is unchangeable. What we call love keeps on being, no matter what is happening around us, perhaps to us. That love keeps on being. We do what is ours to do to clear the pathway to knowing that love is. Love is power. Not a power of taking over or manipulating, but a power of knowing, a power of action. Love is a verb. It is demonstrated through us, filtered through our spirit, our highest self. That love binds, it attracts, it heals. Remember that each of us is the light of the world. We have all the power, the energy, the stamina that is required to stay the course, whatever each of our individual courses is. We have what it takes. Have faith in that love and the power and presence. Have faith in that love that blesses us all. Have faith in that love that is our all. Remember to let that light of understanding enable you to see clearly and take right action. As we move into the silence, let us call on that innate knowing. And remember being born of the Spirit is reaching to our higher calling. Take a breath and breathe it out. Remember that each of us is the light of the world. Have faith in the power of divine love. And know for true that no darkness is greater than the pure light of love. No darkness is greater than the pure light of love. We feel the gratitude for knowing this truth deep in our spirit. We say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, and so it is.
My prayer is one day we won't be judged by the color of our skin, and on that one day we'll finally know we're all the same within. This is my prayer, and I won't give in until love wins. My prayer is one day there will be equal rights for all, and on that one day, the walls of hate and bigotry will fall. This is my prayer, and this I swear, I won't give in. And this I swear.